Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Thursday evening
Woohoo!
bracket rundown show. Recording coming to you live on tape delay here around 9:15 p.m. on Thursday, February 18th.
Yes, it has been a busy night, Chad. A lot of games that would impact the bracket had we started before 7 o'clock or after 7 o'clock.
What we are going to be doing tonight is revealing a consensus bracket from the staff here at Hoops HD. So what happened is the three of us who are here, I don't think I introduced us, so let me go back and quickly do that. I'm Chad Sherwood, got John Tytel to my side. We got David Griggs down below us. The three of us, along with Joby Fortson, who couldn't make it on tonight, and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, who also couldn't make it on the show tonight, all submitted a top 55 teams regardless of conference list. I went ahead and add those up kind of like the way that the AP votes do, just cross-country scoring of those 55 teams. Came up with a consensus field through the end of the at-larges. Went in based on my own personal choices without help from any of you as to who the balance of the field would be from all the way down to the end of the all 68 teams. And what we're going to do is kind of Selection Sunday style, reveal those teams to you tonight,
Yes.
live on the
And
air on tape delay.
yeah, you know the bracket. John and I do not. We are not with this particular show trying to guess the committee or guess what it's going to be on Selection Sunday. We're just going on our own druthers. We do have one of the best selection committee guessing experts in the world tonight, so he can probably chime in a lot as to what the committee might be doing a little differently than what we did. But I don't know. I'm just excited. I love these shows. It's probably my favorite one that we do. I think I say that about every show that we do, but this time I actually mean it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal the top 16 teams, what we call the protected seeds, the ones that would be in those little yellow spots on the board that I just pulled up one at a time. Then we'll go a little quicker once we get those first 16 teams in. We'll go four teams at a time until the field is revealed. We'll discuss them. We'll debate them. We'll find out whether you guys agree with what we did as a consensus. And as a note, of course, because we're recording this left 9 o'clock, everybody's fields had to be in by 7 o'clock tonight, which meant that none of the games played today were factored in at all, which means, for example, Iowa's win at Wisconsin, not factored in. Wichita State's upset they just pulled off in Houston at home against Houston, not factored in.
Yeah, and
And
that's a big thing. Yeah.
the games that are still to come tonight, that there's some big ones. Rutgers that's playing at Michigan right now. Ohio State's in its close game at Penn State. We got UCLA hosting Arizona. We got a lot of others, San Diego State, Oregon, Stanford, Colorado, a lot of teams that we'll be discussing tonight that are in action that we just didn't factor them in.
Okay.
Did I get that right? All right.
You did, yeah.
Let's start with the number one team overall here. Let's get some teams up here. And I don't know that it's going to come very much of a surprise to anybody. John, Gonzaga, number one overall. You shocked?
I'm not, nor do I have a veto. I think they are deserving. I think Baylor's deserving as well. And my question is, looking forward, if Baylor like runs the table, if they both run the table, does this order change or does it stay the same?
Well,
With our bracket, I don't think it's I know well I know it's not unanimous because like last week Baylor was number one. I still had Baylor number one this week. If they both run the table, it just comes down to I think Baylor absolutely has the better profile, but does that mean they have the better team? And as your druthers as a committee member and as a voter, what do you value more? I
You
just
got
think Baylor, look at Baylor's profile. They've beaten better teams in true road games than what Gonzaga has. I mean, there is a strong case that Baylor is better.
just a quick note here. If they both go undefeated into the NCAA tournament, you've got a West Virginia home win, a road win at Kansas, a Big 12 championship for Baylor. And I haven't heard yet what the Big 12 is going to do. They have a week of no games at all scheduled between the sitting there. So there may be some makeup, another makeup game or two put onto Baylor's schedule. Gonzaga also could squeeze another game or two in if they get after their St. Mary's game tonight in San Diego this weekend. So, but those will be West Coast Conference games, as will the West Coast Conference tournament, obviously.
Yeah.
But John, what are your thoughts? If Baylor runs the table, are you with David that they would then move above the Zags?
I think so, only because not only do they have the two top 25 wins in February, but I assume they'd have at least two, if not more, in March, right?
They should,
Presumably, yeah.
absolutely. I mean, unless their path to the Big 12 tournament championship is TCU, K-State, and Iowa State by some crazy.
Just, I mean, it would be the most bizarre bracket ever.
The number three overall, I also don't think this is much of a surprise. They're playing right now and losing to Rutgers, the Michigan Wolverines at number three overall. And I don't think number four overall is a surprise either. I just want to pull them both up, and that's Ohio State, because I think it was unanimous, but for you again, David, that we all had Michigan above Ohio State.
Well,
I think you had it reversed.
I did. And if you pull them up side by side now, again, this is going to get settled. They're going to play this weekend, presumably, COVID permitting, and they're in the same conference. So they'll play this weekend. They'll have the head to head, they'll have the conference standings, and then the conference tournament. There's going to be enough to definitively say which one is better, but right now there isn't. And I think at Illinois and at Iowa and at Wisconsin and at Rutgers and at Maryland is a little bit better than at Wisconsin, at Purdue, and at Maryland. I think it tops out a little higher. Granted, Michigan doesn't have as many losses. Their only loss is at Minnesota, who only has one other home loss. So it's an excellent profile. And you are kind of holding your nose. Northwestern, not very good. Ohio State went to Minnesota and lost. Michigan went there. And
Well, why don't we get the other side? Why don't we get Tytel to respond as to why you're wrong?
I'm not wrong.
I think it's a coin flip. I have Michigan ahead of the Buckeyes. I agree that as somebody who loves the head-to-head matchup, that should carry a lot of weight. The other thing that interests me, well, a couple of things. One, like all the time off that Michigan's had, I still don't know how the committee is going to factor it, because a lot of it was out of their control. And obviously they only have the one loss, so it hasn't hurt them too much, but I wonder if they'll get penalized or not. Secondly, I actually look at the common opponents here. What if Iowa in these back-to-back games sweeps these pair of one seeds? I know we haven't discussed Iowa yet. How far up did they jump?
Very, very high. Very high.
I would note here, I did read an interview with Mitch Barnhart that I think he gave you yesterday. His comment was that the committee is not going to penalize anybody for having been shut down due to COVID, but that still doesn't make up for the fact that you have less games and that the teams that played more games could have gotten some very big wins in there. So I don't think it was much of an answer, honestly.
No, it was not an answer at all. Like, the committee can only evaluate what is there. You run into this with under the radar teams. Well, they haven't played anybody, but that's not their fault. There was nobody on their schedule. I think that you can only evaluate what's there.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he said. Okay. Let's go to number five overall. Because of rules that only allow teams, you can't put the same team from the same conference. Illinois, instead of being where they should truly be in this, what I'm calling the East region still, they might change the region names. They have to go all the way over here to the South, but Illinois at number five overall. This Illini profile, I think, it took us a while, John, but we all finally are on board with them with you here. Is there a way for Illinois to move up a seed line, or is there a real big gap here between them and Ohio State and Michigan?
The answer to both questions is yes. I think there is a noticeable gap between the two in terms of if all the teams win or all the teams lose, then I think it'll stay the same. But Illinois' season finale at Ohio State on March 6th could change everything. I also feel bad for them. Like, they're one of the five best teams in the country, but they're not even one of the top two teams in their conference, and their reward is that they get to play an possibly undefeated team.
Their path through a Big Ten tournament could be having to play Michigan and Ohio State on back-to-back days.
If they do all that, if they win at Ohio State and then win the Big Ten tournament while beating Michigan and Ohio State again, yes, I think that would land them on the one line.
Number six overall is probably not that much of a surprise either. It is Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Nate Oates just got a big contract extension there as well. Just an amazing season the Tide have had.
And that's what put it over the top, like on the team sheet when they saw Nate Oates' contract extension.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was just, you can't ignore that. Like, I mean, Mark Few didn't get a contract extension.
Our number seven team might be a little bit of a surprise, especially to you, Tytel. I think you have a seed line lower. David, you have to be rated higher than this, though, and that's Oklahoma. I kind of want to get both your thoughts on this team. David, you had them number five overall, actually, even above Illinois.
Did.
In Alabama, John, you had them, I think, at number 12 overall. So, John, why don't I start with you? Why do we have them overrated here on the two line?
I think they're certainly heading in the right direction, but five losses seems like a lot to me, frankly. I know there's no bad, so they get points for that. And the OAR is good and a bit of a home court hero in terms of 3-4 on the road. They smell like a 2 seed, but I think they just taste more like a 3 seed at this point.
Let me just a quick definition here. You mentioned the OAR. You can see that here in yellow. What it is, it's a metric that we've kind of invented. What we've done is we've taken a look at 7 of the metrics that are on or used in the team room at different times, including the BPI, the Sagarin, Ken Palms, Net, all that, average them all up and rank them. So that's kind of an average of all the various metrics is the OAR number. But David, your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to say that I ever ignored it, but like that early loss to Xavier in that exempt event, I think was a bit of an anomaly. You look at everything else at Baylor, that's not so bad. Texas Tech by 2, at Texas Tech again by 5, and at Kansas by 4. So when you're losing when three of your 5 losses are that close to teams that are that good, I just don't ding you that much for that, even if there are 5 of them. And then when you look at the good, I mean, a win against Alabama, who we've already put in, a win at West Virginia, fantastic at home this year, as is Texas, again against West Virginia. I just think that they top out really, really high. And I had them 5th overall. The other thing, and I know that this isn't.
Let me throw this at you, though, David. I've got a problem putting a team number 5 overall when they're 3-4 overall on the road. Don't you have to have a winning road record to be the 5th best team in the country? This is a David Griggs argument I'm throwing at you, too. So.
You do, but, like, I mean, Baylor undefeated at home. I don't know if Texas Tech is or not, but, like, I think at least 2 of those losses are.
But you're talking about a borderline of the 1 seed line now, David. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
You'll get that excuse when you're bordering on the 1 seed as number 5 overall.
Okay, well, if they end up 3-7 on the road, I will not have them up here. But Iowa State, K-State, and Oklahoma State, all winnable road games if they're playing as well as Oklahoma is. And another thing, I mean, like before you just interrupted me, I think right now Oklahoma on the court, while the whole season as a whole body of work may not show it, is playing like a 2 seed.
Well, let me add in the final of the 2 seeds here. This would be Gonzaga's potential Elite Eight opponent, and that is Villanova out of the Big East. John, a Villanova team that has been kind of sliding in the wrong direction lately, though.
They have. I mean, they certainly did not look good against Creighton, but now that Creighton is looking good, I don't think it looks that bad for them. The St. John's loss was tough, although St. John's was a little bubble-ish. I just love that Mark Few versus Jay Wright. That's the best coaching matchup we have on the board, and it's not even close.
Yep. If they can get there, I'll tell you, if Villanova plays in the NCAA tournament the way they played the last 2 weeks, they're not getting anywhere close to it.
Yeah, they're not. And I mean, they came off of the shutdown and they just haven't gotten their motors started. I think the profile is about right. I don't think I had them this high, but on the court, like you said, not looking it lately.
Number 9 overall, if Villanova did get dropped down, number 9 overall, we had West Virginia, which is a team that is playing pretty good.
Yes.
Lately. David, you have some thoughts on the Mountaineers?
Well, I just to further the point that you just made, they are playing very well lately. On the court, a very tough defensive team, a pressure team, hard to play against. They're sort of running downhill. I think all 4 of their remaining games are winnable. If I'm looking at that, that's not their schedule.
There it is. It took a moment to load. How about that?
Okay, yeah, that one looks a little better.
Not quite as easy. Texas, not very winnable, no.
Yeah, Texas and TCU. But I mean, I do like the way that they've been playing lately. But
you notice they have a 5-2 road record.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, well, and okay. If they end up 6-4 on the road and Oklahoma ends up the same because they have 3 winnable road games. Yeah, they haven't played the heavyweights on the road yet.
Okay, well, you're right. There's going to be a couple of real fun weeks here left in the Big 12 conference. Let's take a look at the number 10 overall team, though. John, we have, where are they? Houston coming in, and this was, again, before the loss today. So let me ask the question here. With this loss at Wichita State, Do they drop one seed line? Do they drop out of the top 16? How far do you think that Houston drops?
I had them at the two, on the two line. I think they are going to drop to a three line. So I think this is correct. And I think they're in serious jeopardy in terms of like, I think they can handle a 3-14 game, but depending on the sixth seed they get matched up with in the second round, I'm getting very nervous. I like Kelvin Sampson in terms of he gets to the tourney a lot and wins early a lot. He doesn't have a great history of going to the Final Four or anything. And they've lost some guys due to injury this year. I think that and the conference and the non-conference strength of schedule is not good. I think this is a little bit too red of a flag for me to have them make it in a deep run.
Yeah. Just note here, the Wichita State loss is not on here yet. It would right now technically be a tier two loss, but with the win, I expect Wichita State's net to take a few steps up and they should become a tier one loss for by tomorrow
right.
morning.
Houston has a really good team, but they have repeatedly not looked like a two seed or in at times not even a protected seed. Everybody's going to get a few mulligans, but like the losing to East Carolina, Tulsa, and Wichita State. Now, Wichita State did play really well. They were at home and they've been playing well for a lot of the year. But if you're a two seed, those three losses are kind of a lot to swallow when you've beaten Texas Tech and you've beaten Boise at home. And that's really all that you've done against teams that are inside the bubble.
Yeah. If you look at the record against the board, those are teams that are either at least on the bubble, 3-0. Yeah. Actually, that would now be 3-1 because Wichita State, I think, will be on the board, is on the board. But
yeah,
it's not the quantity of games that Villanova, who's light on that, has six of those games. And these big 12 teams are going to have 10 or 12 games here.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11 overall. This is the next three seed here. We have Virginia coming in. Ahead of Florida State, which kind of surprised me. John, did that surprise you that Virginia ended up ahead of Florida State, especially with what happened this week between the two teams?
A little, only in that of the result, but I think that it could easily keep falling in terms of Virginia going down and Florida State replacing them in the days ahead or next week. So I think each team is trending in the other direction, but I'm not totally surprised because it was a recent loss.
Yeah, it was that impressive 81-60 Florida State win. But again, you do there is probably a greater volume of bigger volume of wins and not as bad of a loss on Virginia's side as FSU has with that Central Florida loss.
Florida State, while playing well now, I don't think they top out as high as Virginia does right now. But ironically, they top out against Virginia.
Well, they did not even make our three line, as Texas Tech is the team that got the final three line spot here. Yet another, I think we're up to, is that four Big 12 teams already? I believe it is. You know, I'm only on three lines, which is shows you the strength of the Big 12 there. And again, David, 5-1 on the road for Texas Tech. Not 2-5 or whatever Oklahoma was.
Yeah, but they've won at Oklahoma and at Texas. I mean, it isn't just that they're 5-1 on the road. Those are massive road wins. LSU also a tough team to beat on the road. So
monster game this weekend at Kansas, actually.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, they've played Kansas already. I thought they had.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
They did. I'm sorry, they did. They lost to Kansas at home.
Yeah. It was a pretty good game, but is a chance, although it's going to be harder to win in Lawrence. But the Big 12, it's just a case where the top of the conference just continues to feed off of itself and grow because they keep beating each other on the road.
But they're staying up there, though. I mean, they have kept four teams here on the top three lines. Let's take a peek at the first of our four seeds. There's our fifth Big 12 team already. John, Texas coming in at number 13 overall. Do you think the Big 12 could keep this five teams in the top 13?
They can. There will be some cannibalization as the teams continue to beat up on each other, both in February and in March into the conference tourney time. But they all have, I think, top five worthy schedules and wins. I just feel bad for Juwan Howard because I like him and I like his team. I don't know if you can out-coach Shaka Smart and then out-coach Tony Bennett or the two seed in that region like Lon Kruger. That's asking a lot for a young coach.
That's a heck of a region there. Michigan, Texas, Virginia, Oklahoma. Yeah. It's the top four seeds. Real.
Yeah, I mean,
scary.
We got four protected seeds in that region. How about that?
David, number 14 overall. I think we're finally going to see them here. There they are, Florida State coming in the East region there. We just mentioned them. And, you know, again, I still can't quite figure out why we have them below Virginia, but we do.
Well, I think because, like, once you get past their win against Virginia currently, there just isn't much else there. I will say this. I think they have a big head of steam going right now, and they will play their way up higher. But, I just think they need a few more wins at the top of their profile. But I think we got them right. I mean, they are a protected seed, and it wouldn't shock me if they went up even higher in the rankings.
We had a number 15, Iowa, a team that had been heading in the wrong direction. But now, John, things have turned around. And while this vote was taken before tonight's game, they just picked up a huge win at Wisconsin. Can they move up to the 3 line at this point?
If they keep beating teams like Wisconsin, certainly. I kind of want them here just because we already saw the Gonzaga-Iowa game back earlier in the year, which was a scoring fest, and I would love to see the rematch in Indianapolis.
That would be. You start to see potential Sweet 16 games here. Number 16 overall, finishing out the protected seeds. We did get the Pac-12 leader in here, just barely. USC, David, coming in at number 16 overall.
Yeah, I liked them last week, and I think I took some credit. How can you have USC as a protected seed? I got to say, I did not this week. I had them close. I think I had them 18 or 19th. So I'm not the only person that likes this team, apparently.
Let's take a quick look at them. And John, as a committee guessing expert, is there extra weight given to just being that regular season champion in a conference, even if nothing else on the resume says that you should be up this high?
A little. I'm just more worried about versus the board. I mean, if you're a top four seed, you're one of the best teams in the country, and they've only beaten three teams on the board, and it's the way UCLA is looking, that might be dropping out soon. So I wish they had they have plenty of meat on the bone. I wish they had a little spicier meat on the bone.
Arizona
is not on the board because they're not eligible, but wouldn't that be an equivalent of a win against the team?
Yeah, I would say that Arizona would be somewhere on the board. I don't know if they'd be in the field or out of the field, but they would be 4-2 against the board if Arizona was postseason.
But to his point, that you normally you're used to seeing a little more than that.
And they're playing Arizona again this weekend, so allegedly.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Let's at this point, what we do is I'm going to do one seed line at a time. Let's reveal all four of these five seeds and then get both your thoughts on the teams that come up here. So this is the entire five lines coming up. One here, we've got Tennessee coming in against Iowa, Wisconsin against USC, Missouri there with the matchup of Texas, and Creighton coming in on the five
line
there.
That's a lot of recency bias for Creighton right there. Man.
Well, let's pull up that Creighton profile. I want to pull up this Tennessee profile as well because, David, let me start with you, though. You wanted to discuss Creighton.
I mean, I think that they're certainly playing a lot better recently. They they went through a real snag. The home win against Villanova was really impressive. It was actually even more impressive than the 16-point margin indicates. Seton Hall, solid road win. I mean, there's a lot of solid stuff there.
I'll tell you what, David, though. This is a very impressive number now. It's a little bit of a fake number here, but they are 11-1 against the top two quadrants.
Yes. Because
they're 2-4 against quadrant three.
Yeah, and that kind of, to me, weighs them down a little bit. And it's hard to evaluate a team that is this schizophrenic sometimes. Based on what we saw from the committee's reveal, and I know that I'm venturing into Tytel's territory here, it seemed to me that with the 16 teams they put out, the top of the bracket was more important was more important than the bottom of it. So the committee might put them this higher or on the sixth line, the real one. With me, though, they just haven't done it consistently enough because while they have great wins, they have stinko losses.
John, what do you think? Do you think they belong this high when you – again, you look at this top two quadrants, you stop there, it's an amazing profile.
Yeah, no, I remember even as of, I think, a week ago, we had pointed to Tier 1 and said, look, they have three Tier 1 road wins, but it's against a bunch of, like, mediocre Big East teams. Now they have, like, the resume top of the resume win. And it's hard to, it's a really weird profile. I mean, they have more home losses than road losses, which is something you rarely see from a team this good. And it's hard to explain, but they have so much good that I think it's enough to outweigh the whole lot of bad in tier three.
Right. I also put Tennessee on the right there, John. My problem with Tennessee, they don't have a lot of losses. The losses are all respectable. But when you dig into those wins, those tier one and tier two wins, there's not a lot there. I mean, I like the Missouri road win the best of any of them.
I do too.
I'm just not impressed by the quality of the win, I guess is what I'm saying.
Nor should you be. I think that's a very fair assessment. Plus, their non-conference meet the schedule, not that Creighton was much better, is bad. The X factor, I think, for Tennessee is a couple things. One, the schedule has three winnable games on it. Secondly, this is a team that relies heavily on freshmen. I think two of their leading scorers are freshmen. And I think that this is the kind of year where if they hit the wall, then the whole team's going to hit the wall. But I think the freshmen are actually getting better as the season goes on by getting this chance for experience. So I actually think Tennessee is going to be going in the right direction as we go into March.
All right. The other two teams here, as we mentioned, were Missouri and Wisconsin on this line. Wisconsin coming off that home loss to Iowa, but it's a very respectable loss. I don't know. It could drop them down to a sixth seed, but that probably be.
Yeah. Missouri has not been playing their best basketball, at least in their last couple of games. They looked fantastic before this week. Right.
I want to move on to the sixth line here. We'll keep things rolling. We got West Virginia's opponent is Clemson. Houston's opponent is VaTech. We have Kansas coming in there, adding to the great coaches in that Midwest region that we have on the screen, and Purdue over there against Texas Tech's potential second round opponent. And David, I really want to get your thoughts on this Clemson team.
Okay.
And John, I'll get your thoughts as well, because this is a team that I think I had highest rated of anybody, or maybe Joby did, who's not on the show with us tonight. But I think the way they look on the court is a very suspect type, but when you dig into this profile, I think it's a very good profile. Very, very good.
It is. Purdue came earlier in the season. Purdue, I think, is a team that's a lot better now than they were back. That was the second day of the season, I think, when they played. And Alabama also a lot better now. Not to devalue those wins, but maybe they're not as good as what they appear on paper, and it can kind of explain why the profile maybe pops a little more than when you look at them on the court. They seem very 20 to 25 ish to me. You know, they've held serve against Louisville, Maryland, Syracuse. They've beaten the decent teams at home that you think that they should beat. When you look at their losses, while some of the games, that Virginia game in particular, I mean, they just got absolutely boat raced. They haven't really lost to anybody, maybe other than Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech's pretty good. That would indicate a huge problem. They lost a couple of them, but I don't know. To me, they that's very sixth seedish, and that's where we put them.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. I've got Tennessee still up there on the right. When you look at these two profiles, they both have five losses that were fairly respectable. I'll take Alabama, Florida State, and Purdue over those tier one wins, and you got a huge pile of tier two wins for Clemson that you don't have any of Tennessee. That's why I like this Clemson profile, I think, better than most people.
Yes, you do. They deserve a lot of credit for the tier one, because that is as good as almost anybody's in the nation. What I would point to is a couple things. One, the road record is 1-4. Number two, even if they win at Wake on the 24th, their only other road win is at Miami. They're going to have zero road wins against the top 125.
Okay, but if you make it road neutral, you're at 4-4. You're at 500.
Do a lot of stuff, I can get a lot of stuff. I hear you, but zero top 125 road win.
Okay, I mean, I'm just looking at the fact that Alabama and Purdue were not really home. They're not home games. Those were neutral court games. They get a little more credit for that. But
they're a neutral court hero.
A neutral court hero. Absolutely neutral court hero. The other teams there, real quick, John, any thoughts on VaTech, Kansas, Purdue? You think we got them right where they belong?
I do. I also, as you said, Bill Self against Tony Bennett. Sign me up. That's going to be great.
Yeah. David, let me show you the seven line here.
Okay, let me see it.
We got Rutgers, who is in a battle right now with Michigan, I guess I'll call it that. Arkansas coming in with a huge lift after their big week. Florida and Oklahoma
I'm on board
State.
With the Razorbacks now. Florida. And I'll start with Arkansas. I had been dogging them for a complete absence of quality wins. They no longer have a complete absence of quality wins. They've got two very good ones that they picked up last week. I was really impressed. I think I had them on my seven line and maybe even a little bit higher, but beating Florida and winning at Mizzou, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, John, I think this is one of the biggest jumps I've seen in a team this late in the season that I can remember, to go from a team that I think 2 weeks ago, we argued that they shouldn't even be on the board. They shouldn't even be considered in the top four teams out, to now we have them wearing white in the first round.
I don't know who this we is you're talking about.
Except you.
I've been a great bandwagon for several weeks, but yes, they're certainly making a huge leap. And what would be fascinating is, I think you had the matched up against Illinois. You have the two most different kinds of seven-footers you can get in college basketball. Kofi Coburn, who's this like man-child underneath dunking, and then Connor Vanover, a 7'3" guy who makes free throws and shoots threes and is like, I think I could knock him over with like a stiff breeze. It's a huge, crazy matchup.
What do you think about Rutgers, Florida, Oklahoma State? You like those picks here also?
I do. Still not sure about how Keontae Johnson factors into the committee. I like the fact that Cade Cunningham has a chance to shine. I still don't know if Oklahoma State is definitely in or definitely out or where that stands. And I'm always happy to see Rutgers in the tournament because it seems like they're in the tournament every year, Chad.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma State would have to have their appeal heard and denied in the next 2.5 weeks to not be in the NCAA tournament. And right. All indications are it will not be decided before that, which means it is next year that they could be out if their appeal gets denied.
Right. Which it probably will. In regards to Keontae Johnson, it's curious that you said that, John. I think we've seen them play enough games without him to where they could easily and probably accurately evaluate them without him. He's not coming back. So, I mean, you know, isn't it pretty much...
So it's a non-issue for you, it sounds like.
Yeah. I just think that they've done it. Yeah. And do you think it would be for the committee? He only played in a couple games.
I think you're right. It seems like a weird thing in terms of the preseason conference player of the year goes down in the first month of the season and is gone the rest of the year. It rarely happens, I think.
Yeah, it does.
Let's go on to the eight line. John, we've got Louisville, BYU, LSU, and Colorado coming in on this line. Your thoughts on those four teams?
It's interesting. Let me see here. I think that sounds pretty close to what I had.
Wow.
I think I actually had Colorado a little higher, like a 7 seed, but obviously they've been having their struggles in February. So, I don't see a ton of veto here.
Can David, we pull up Louisville, Chad?
All right, I'll pull up Louisville. I'll pull up the Colorado profile too.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Your thoughts on this Louisville team, David? I'm pretty certain you did not like Louisville as much as anybody else, am I right?
No. And when the profile loads, it should be evident. It's taking
a second here to load. Yeah. But here it is.
Okay,
they have nothing in Tier 1A and Tier 1, but they've got a lot of Tier 2 and nothing bad. One loss back in January, but not much bad at all.
There isn't a whole lot of bad, but there isn't. Well, the loss.
That's why they're an 8 seed. That's they're kind of in the middle of the field.
The loss at Miami was kind of bad, but I mean, Virginia Tech, Seton Hall. I mean, it seems like they're just holding serve against decent teams. Winning at Pitt isn't that hard. Duke is bad. Like they.
Well, I
don't know.
David, compare them to Colorado, who we just mentioned here. Also, Colorado has that shining win at USC. Get it.
Yeah,
but everything else is kind of bland, and they've got 3 bad losses to 1 bad loss.
Yeah, well, I think the win at Stanford is also better than anything Louisville has by quite a bit.
I don't know. It's better. I don't know. It's quite a bit better. John, your thoughts on that debate?
I think the OAR shows that it is a coin flip, and what's interesting to me is that any other year, a loss at Duke would not hurt and arguably help your profile. This is the one year in like 25 years that a loss at Duke is probably going to hurt Louisville. Maybe.
Yeah. They got to win that game. Let's take a look at some potential first round matchups now, as we reveal the 9 seeds. Let's see who that Louisville team, for example, Louisville gets Indiana. Great matchup.
I love Louisville on the 8 line. I think that is great.
BYU gets Seton Hall, LSU gets Loyola Chicago, and Colorado versus Minnesota. We'll get back to Minnesota in a second here, but I want to start with Loyola Chicago. John, you are the selection committee guessing expert here. Can this Loyola team get up here in the 8-9 seed range, especially if they can get one more win over Drake in the MVC finals?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think that Drake future win could make all the difference in the world. I think they are like 8-9 seed worthy, as you'll see. The fact that they lost to Drake, even though it was on the road and even though it was by just a point in overtime, but the fact that Drake's best player, Tank Hemphill, wasn't playing might hurt them a tad. Obviously not anything bad in tier three or tier four, but they could certainly use another tier one win. 8-3 on the road. You got to like that.
All right, David, let's talk a little bit about the Gophers here, have not won a road or neutral game all season, which is almost a disqualifier in any year except for this COVID-shortened year. But when you look at those Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue wins, that's a collection of four wins that very few teams in the country have.
Yeah, and if you really use your imagination, and you kind of have to use it a little bit, you can excuse a lot of these road losses as Michigan, I'm pretty sure, is undefeated at home. Illinois, I think, is too. Iowa.
David, all but the Indiana loss are against what they call Tier 1A. That is the cream of the crop.
Yeah, so you have to consider that when you evaluate them, because these are teams collectively – I'm pulling this out of my ass, but they've won about 95% of their games at home and probably more. Like, all of those teams combined probably have easily fewer than 10 losses at home. It might even be fewer than 5. So if you're going to beat them up for not winning on the road, you have to at least consider that. But they haven't won on the road, and sometimes when they've gone on the road, they've looked really, really bad. I thought they played well against Indiana the other night. They had a chance to win. They didn't get it done.
Shorthanded. They were missing one of their top players.
But it is kind of I have a really hard time selecting a team. I did select them. But with no road wins, no neutral wins, if they do not win at Penn State, then they better win. They better not go out in that first Big Ten tournament game.
Well, even if they get the Illinois win.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I think it adds.
That doesn't matter that they beat the number four team in the net. It doesn't matter that they beat.
No, it matters. But
two seed Illinois.
I mean, they've already beaten Ohio State and Michigan and Iowa. I think the one box that they need to check, while that is another good win, it doesn't check the win away from home box.
John, do you agree with him that beating Illinois this weekend is just going to be just another decent win for Minnesota?
I didn't see it. It doesn't solve the biggest problem they have.
Well, does it? Let's, John, if they go 3-1 here, beat Illinois, Northwestern, Rutgers, lose at Penn State, and let's say they go out in the first round of the Big Ten tournament.
I think they'd be a lock, which is ridiculous. Like, as you said, Chad, I think the key phrase was any other year. And David, you're right. Any other year, a winless road and neutral means you're out. But this year, they're beating four of the top seven teams in the nation. Like, put them in.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been a profile like this that I can remember, especially if they do this 3-1 thing here that I just mentioned. This will be the exception that proves the rule kind of thing here is what I think we've got. Real quick, we mentioned that we had seen Hall and Indiana as the other team in that line. Let's take a look at the 10 line, though. Potential first round matchups. We've got Rutgers' opponent is San Diego State. Arkansas,
that is Oregon. High.
Florida gets UCLA and Oklahoma State gets Maryland. John, David just said that we are way too high on San Diego State. I think we're a little bit low on them. What are your thoughts on this team with a somewhat interesting profile at this point, I think?
I had them as a 9 seed, so I think this is right around where it is. Again, one of the many profiles we've seen tonight where Tier 1 is very empty, but there's not any bad in Tier 3 or Tier 4. I think the Boise doubleheader is going to show them that they're either going to go up with two wins or down with two losses, or maybe stay where they are with a split. But I think I would have to pick Rutgers to win that game, Jeff.
Thank you. I like that one.
I know. That's why I said it.
Also want to quickly mention this Maryland team. It's a Maryland team that, did kind of what we thought they would do once they got away from being right sitting there at 500. They picked up a pair of home wins that didn't help their, wouldn't help most teams' profile with a pair of home wins over Nebraska this week, but something that puts them, David, at 12-10, 13-10 overall. That I think that solves the big problem that we had of that 500 record for Maryland.
It is. The win at Rutgers is, I mean, that one is going to be tough, but everything outside of that, Michigan State's bad this year. Northwestern is bad, and Penn State, not the best road team. I think they can win three of their last four. And if they do that, they're probably in, if not on the first ballot, then they're going in shortly after that, because that is aside from the overall record, that's a damn good profile.
Yeah. And I think that's why getting those two Nebraska games this week was so huge for them.
Yeah.
John, real quick, you like Oregon and UCLA here also?
Yes, and I would be worried about Arkansas because the Ducks are getting healthy. They look great on their Arizona road trip, and I would pick the 10th seed to upset the 7th seed.
The 11 line, we see Clemson gets Boise State. Va-Tech gets VCU. There we go, a little in-state game.
Yeah.
Kansas, North Carolina, as we continue to add – and we continue to add to
64.
The we continue to add to these coaching in the Midwest region that we have there. Let's toss Roy Williams in as well at Colorado State against Purdue. John, your thoughts on these four teams we just threw up there?
We are building the greatest coaching region in the history of the tournament. So up with Chad, and I love the in-state battle.
Tim Miles,
Clemson, Boise, like
Tim Miles,
interesting matchup of some unproven in the tournament teams, but again, like. Boise is a doubleheader coming up with San Diego State. So those teams could easily flip a line.
David, I got to call you out a little bit on VCU. You had them a lot lower than this, despite the fact that they are leading the A-10 now. They just came off the huge win against Richmond. And other than a home loss to Rhode Island, and back when Rhode Island was playing pretty darn good, they've got – it's another one of these empty Tier 1, but full of Tier 2 profiles.
It is. I think it's not that I don't like them. You got to keep in mind, I think that the bubble is really crowded this year. Most of the time in a normal year, it feels like teams are kind of backing in and you're kind of holding your nose. From, you know, 50 to 40, there's about 10 teams in that mix, and VCU's one of the 10 that I just can do a coin flip on just about any of them. A case can be made that they belong up here, and it's certainly a good case, but there's just some other teams that I like a little bit more, but the emphasis there is a little bit more.
And let me just note here, when you look at the upcoming schedule, you could cross off these last two games already. Big news out of the Atlantic 10 today. They're moving their conference tournament, at least everything but the championship game, up an extra week, which means that those last week's games are going to be going away. We'll at least get the VCU St. Louis game in. I hope we get to see that one before.
Right. And you got to kind of wonder, is VCU going to try and schedule a game in the middle of the conference tournament in that week period where they're
technically you'd be allowed to. There will be a week off from the Saturday when they have the semifinals to the week. To not the next day Sunday, but the week later Sunday for the championship game.
In what city, Chad?
The conference tournament everything but the championship game will be in Richmond, split between Richmond and VCU's home arenas. The championship game will be in Dayton.
Unprecedented.
It is. I don't understand.
So VCU wants to be going to Dayton this year. Wait, that's not quite the way we normally do it, is it?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Let's start look at the 12 line, because we have exactly four at-large bids left. And I want to take a look at the first two of them, which were the first two of our first four. And they ended up being Drake and Xavier getting into the first four. John, Drake and Xavier, do they belong in the field?
Yes, although, as I said, Tank Hemphill's out for Drake. I heard there's a chance he's going to come back in March. I don't know if it's for the regular season.
That's what I'm hearing also.
Or the NCAA tourney, or not at all. I don't know if it's obvious, he definitely makes or breaks this team. The win over Loyola is the shining star on the resume. The loss at Valpo is the shining ugliness on the resume. They'll probably win their last four to go 25-2. And then the game against Loyola, which will hopefully be in the title game, I think the winner and loser of that game make it, but it would certainly help Drake's resume, obviously, to win that one.
David, what about Xavier? I mean, one win over Oklahoma, and that's the whole profile.
And one win over Oklahoma at a time when Oklahoma was not going 100 miles an hour. They were going about 50 or 60 miles an hour. The Oklahoma is noticeably better now than they were when Xavier just blew them off the floor. And like you said, that's really it. I don't think Xavier – I mean, I ranked about 60 teams. I don't think I had Xavier in my field. And they haven't – they just haven't looked that good in their last couple games. Now, part of that is due to circumstance. They were coming off shutdown. But you can – like we have said multiple times already tonight, you can only evaluate what's there. That's what's there. I don't think that's quite enough.
Well, they've got four out of the five last games are winnable. Three of them are on the road. They better win four out of five.
I think they need to. Yeah. Just to kind of get inside the bubble and get up to this point. I mean, if they were to get in, I think they would be in the first four, which is where they have them. So
let's take a look at the last two teams that made the field. There are two more teams in the 12 line that we'll get to a little bit because they'll be automatic bids. But the last two teams that made it were Stanford and UConn. David, let me start with you on the Stanford pick. I thought Stanford could have been a little bit higher than this, but
I did too. I kind of like Stanford, and while they haven't always been consistently good, I think they've been good enough to be certainly inside the first four. You know, look at where they top out. They have the win against Alabama. The win at Arizona is pretty good. And when you look at their losses, North Carolina isn't so bad. I mean, I know it was at a time when UNC wasn't playing very well. At Utah, not good, but not awful. You're not really holding your nose at very much of that either. And you know, they have the win against Arizona at home. They have the win against
a sweep over Arizona, in fact.
Yeah, a sweep over Arizona. I just think that that's a little bit better than a first four team. I certainly think it's better than what Xavier did. And
exactly. I'll take the Alabama neutral to sweep Arizona over an Oklahoma home win.
Yeah, at a time when Oklahoma wasn't playing that well. Right. I know you got UConn up there. Okay,
I want to ask John about UConn because it's tough for me. You've got a team with two wins and nothing else.
You've also got like the greatest women's Final Four ever with Tennessee.
I was going to mention that in a second. Go ahead.
The UConn thing, we always talk about, like, how does the committee factor in injuries? This is the team. Without James Bouknight, they were a mediocre 4-4 team. With him, their only loss to Creighton by two in overtime. He makes or breaks this team. And now that he's healthy, they're not going to be penalized so much for all of the December and January losses without Bouknight.
That's a great point. And again, yeah, like you mentioned, look at this. Stanford versus UConn, the winner gets Tennessee. It is women's basketball, is it? Is it not? Yeah. I guess we need South Carolina in there to complete it, don't we? But let's, before we get to the rest of the field here, let's take a look at the top four teams that did not make it. They were in order.
Chad, can I ask a question real quick? Was anybody else on the 12 line inside the bubble or sandwiched in between the first four? They were not. Thank you. Okay.
St. Bonaventure, St. John's, Ole Miss, Utah State. I think, John, let me start with you. I think there's cases at least for the top three of those. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, a lot of people in this group and around the country are getting on the Ole Miss bandwagon. I'm not totally sold yet just because 12-8 overall doesn't impress me too much. Granted, when you beat teams like Tennessee and Missouri and win four in a row, like, they're certainly trending in the right direction. And they have Missouri on the road next week and then three other winnable games. So they're 16-8 on an 8-game winning streak. Yeah, I'm really impressed by Ole Miss, but I'm just not sold just yet.
David, what about the Bonnies? They were our top team out. Only three losses, but you know, VCU home win is kind of all you got.
Well, the win at Richmond is pretty good.
Okay. It's okay. We haven't mentioned Richmond yet. They haven't come up on the board yet.
Right. Is Richmond on the board? No. Are they a team that's good enough to where if you go there and win, it's worth something? Yeah, I think that there is. Not a whole lot to evaluate here. This was a team that got obliterated by COVID protocol, and it just really affected their ability to play out of conference games. So there isn't much there, but the VCU win, Akron on a neutral floor, is okay when compared to the rest of the bubble. But the win at Richmond is kind of, I mean, what does everybody else that we're looking at have? I know we just talked about Ole Miss. I don't like them as much as Ole Miss.
The other team. I just put St. John's, the other team.
Yeah,
up there.
I like
Villanova and UConn.
Yeah, I like St. John's and Ole Miss better than St. Bonaventure. I also like them both better than Xavier and some of the other teams that we already put in the field.
Right. You know, it's the Bonnies, the other problem. This is a team that's going to lose out on a couple chances for games because of what the A-10 pulling their conference tournament earlier. They probably need to make a deep run in the A-10 tournament along with winning whatever else they've got in the regular season. Yeah. St. John's, they might need to sweep Villanova or at least win these other three games and lose that Villanova game because they have a lot of losses at 8 already, I think.
They do, but God, they are scorching hot right now. I mean, man.
Four other teams that did get some votes here, St. Louis, Richmond, Georgia Tech, Wichita State. I don't think any of us actually had them in the field, but they were at least within our top 55. Wichita State, actually before even beating Houston, was at least on the board. So let me ask that question. John, how far does Wichita State move up now with this win? Let me pull their profile up.
Their profile is great. I believe they only have 4 losses, all to top 50 teams. Now the signature statement win against Houston. I think this team is not a lock, but like I think I have to get them on the 12th line just because there's a lot of good and not a lot of bad.
Yeah, the Memphis loss is maybe the worst loss because the other three teams they lost to are all in the field. You got to add a Houston win in there, the top of the profile. Ole Miss, who we just for comparing to Ole Miss, they beat Ole Miss head-to-head on the road.
Yeah,
must wins of these last 4 games, though. Absolute must wins.
Must wins, or the more accurate way to put it, must not lose. Because those aren't teams that really push you forward. If you beat them, they're teams that drag you down if you don't.
SMU is a decent team, but you can't afford to lose a home game to SMU.
Correct. Yeah, and that's just it, Chad. It is a home game.
Yeah. Let's finish up the field here. The other two 12 seeds, let's start over here in the East. This was our next team up. A team that I would have had a little bit higher than this was, in fact, Western Kentucky. We have them going up against Creighton. And the other 12 seed, probably not a surprise. They just survived a tough game tonight at home against Jacksonville State, but they did win. We got Belmont against Wisconsin in a fascinating game, I think, actually.
Yeah, I really like this Western Kentucky team. I know that they've got a couple losses that make you scratch their head. They've got a big week at North Texas this week.
No, they don't. The series is off.
They don't?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Series just went off today.
All right. This season sucks.
let's keep going. Let's run through the rest of the field. We got the 13 line. We got Winthrop gets Iowa. UC Santa Barbara, very hot team against USC. Toledo against Texas. Greensboro against Florida State.
Chad, you're going really fast here. I want to hear about these teams or what you have to say. What can I do?
You can watch the Under the Radar podcast from last night.
Okay. Yeah, all right. There you go.
Just scroll down there.
Scroll down. It's down there.
14 seed. Real quick, we got Navy against West Virginia, South Dakota State against Houston, Wright State against Virginia.
That is a live wire Wright State team right now. Wow.
And Liberty against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
The 15 line. We've got Abilene Christian against Villanova, Grand Canyon against Illinois, Siena against Oklahoma, UMBC against Alabama.
Who lost tonight, we'd probably flip them with Vermont.
Yeah, actually, tomorrow's game now between UMBC and Vermont will determine the regular season championship in the America East. So,
yeah.
We might flip them back after tomorrow. The 16 line, Gonzaga gets the winner of a Wagner-Norfolk State game. Baylor gets the winner of a Texas State Prairie View game in an all-Texas matchup, no matter who wins that.
Yeah.
Michigan gets James Madison. Ohio State gets Eastern Washington. On that note, let me ask both of you for any two questions. Number one, any other thoughts on the entirety of the bracket? And number two, any other final thoughts overall? And John, let me start with you.
As far as the bracket, just kudos for the coaches in the Midwest region. Just fantastic top to bottom. I also remember like a week or two ago, I was talking about how I didn't think there were going to be a lot of 5-12 upsets because the 5 teams had these great Hall of Fame caliber coaches like a Leonard Hamilton, like a Bill Self, and like Bob Huggins. But now the 5 line has coaches like Greg Gard, Quanzo, Greg McDermott. I think that I could see a lot more 5-12 upsets than I could a couple of weeks ago. As far as a final thought, not on the bracket. It's very sad to hear that the McDonald's All-American game this year has been canceled. They are going to announce the nominees, I believe, next week. So at least the best players in the high school ranks will get some recognition. But I wish that they could get it played. But I think that they made the right choice in terms of safety first.
I do keep looking back at that Midwest region. I'm just shocked at the idea of a Kansas North Carolina first round game. I mean, that would be, that's that's crazy. But David, your thoughts?
Well, this is stating the obvious. It's something that neither one of you need told to you, and I don't think anybody watching it does either. And it is sort of a me whining a little bit. It is really unfortunate that there's a lack of equity in some of the areas where a lot of teams that got to play their full schedules or close to it, it was great. Other teams didn't, particularly St. Bonaventure. Western Kentucky could have used a few more games. It's just wreaked such havoc on the season that it's kind of made it hard to feel like the season had as much of a flow and as much of a buildup as what it normally does. So I'll just be glad when all this is over. And most of the time, to quote Jerry Palm, he says, "You are what your profile is." And while I don't always agree with that, I agree with it about 98% of the time, but not this year. I think Belmont is better than their profile, but how do you evaluate that? I think Western Kentucky is too. I think Oregon is out of the Pac-10. I think St. Bonaventure is. And but when you're evaluating the profile, you have to go with what's there, and what's there is pretty much about where we got them if we're ranking them. So I'm glad we got the season in. It was certainly better than absolutely nothing. I'm looking forward to the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournaments, but God, I want normalcy back.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think what we're heading into the stretch now, where things can get real interesting too with shutdowns and how they're going to be affecting conference tournaments and how they're going to affect the NCAA tournament. If we start having teams with positive tests during that, but
yeah,
we'll talk about that as we go forward and cross our fingers that it does not end up being that big of a problem. I think there's about 10 teams right now that are on shutdown, which, considering there's 345 teams still playing, that's a very small percentage,
right?
But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs down there, John Titel over here, I'm Chad Sherwood. You can look down below us now. If you looked earlier, you ruined the show. Look down below us now to check out the final bracket that we just put together. If you want to look at it a little more than we just showed you. But have a great night, everybody. We'll be back next week with a Hoops HD report on Monday. Another one of these bracket rundowns next Thursday.